Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Playoff Special delivered by Papa John's, the official pizza partner of the Football League. Papa John's, better ingredients, better pizza. This time we're previewing the Football League Playoff Finals, ladies and gentlemen, you lucky things. Aren't we, Peter?
Yes, our friends at Papa John's have been running the Score Twice Half Price promotion all season, giving Football League fans the chance to win half price pizza if their team score two or more goals in a game. Good news, this weekend, nothing's changing, basically. All fans need to do is sign up at papajohns.co.uk/football and select which team you think will be scoring two or more goals at this week's Wembley showpiece. If you get it right, you'll get 50% off until the end of the next day, would you believe?
That is marvellous. Now, you know Pete's here, but Jim's here.
Hello.
And Luke's also here.
All right.
Good to have you back, Jim. Now, gentlemen, what's been your favourite moment of the playoffs thus far? Let's start with an opening question. Jim?
I would say when Dean Cox scored for Leyton Orient. When he slammed the ball into the wall and it came back at him, but it was one of the most composed finishes I've seen. It was an absolute sort of dead-eyed volley, just brilliant, brilliant goal. And what I love about it is... They want it so much.
The reaction was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. Like, it was. If you need to be Lionel Messi, because you absolutely have to be, then you can be in some situations. It was amazing. It was a world-class finish.
It was
beautiful.
He could have, because of the way he took the free kick and it hit the wall, and it came back to him at quite decent speed. He could have easily. But the amount of times you've seen that sort of shot lashed over the bar.
Absolutely, in the car park.
Got over the top of it nicely and composed himself properly. It was good.
Good one, Jim. Luke, what you got?
I'm going to go for a player I've not seen an awful lot of to my detriment this season. I've watched a bit of League One, but not as much as I should have done. And I've always enjoyed it. A lot of teams playing some good football, as I've mentioned before. Ben Pringle for Rotherham.
Real player.
Superb left foot. And I've seen him throughout this playoff process so far, and he's been absolutely superb. Full of energy. Great left foot. Great dead ball delivery. And also, I found out today that he's a graduate of the Wolves End Boys Club.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They've produced... three players.
Yeah, he's one of your lot, Donaldson. He's one of your lot, mate, from Newcastle upon Tyne, sort of round your neck of the woods.
He also has a shock of blonde hair, which makes him stand out, and I like that.
It's strawberry blonde.
There's debate over whether that's a real colour, but carry on.
He was as we'll come on to find out shortly. He was absolutely key to Rotherham's progression to the playoff final. Just delivering balls in not only from dead ball situations but from really good deep crosses, like from Gary Neville-esque, but from the left,
from live balls.
It was great to see, and I think he's a good player. And he's still young, enough to if he's not successful at Wembley next week, perhaps. I mean, Rotherham fans will forgive me for saying, hopefully, that perhaps he'll be able to play at a high level anyway.
Absolutely, Pete. What have you got to bring to this playoff table?
Well, I think, first of all, Luke, I don't think they will forgive you for that terrible...
No, they won't, will they? I didn't think I'd get away with that. Yeah.
I love this player. I don't think he's good enough for where he is.
Steve Evans...
No, he's better.
He's better, yeah.
Steve Evans will kill me if he gets hold of
him. He'll have to catch you first.
Put me in a stew.
I think it's definitely Gary Rowett getting to Wembley. After playing under your good self, Marcus Speller. Mr Peskis Lido.
Yeah,
this is his reward. This is his reward.
fine.
This far better lookalikes.
He has the old school teacher V-neck shirt tie combo.
He dresses very well.
He's
gone for the jumper and
he talked quite a lot about sartorial elegance on the touchline in the Southend Burton game. He said something like, "Oh, me and so and so." I think he said me and so and so. I can't remember who he was talking about. We like to make an effort and stuff. Of course, Tizzy, I presume he means Paul Tisdale, is the sartorial standard we'll strive
for. He's kind of the master, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the guy who wears the cravat stuff, isn't he?
Oh, I see.
So he talks about it quite a lot.
He wears some crazy, crazy clothes.
I mean, Gardner's volley is an obvious one. Which was an absolute peach. I'm going to go for the first 89 minutes of Derby's performance against Brighton and, in the home leg for them. 4-1. But then, of course, they were 4-0 up until that point. Hughes' little flick.
Lovely.
High standards there, mate.
Yeah. You're very high standards. Yeah. Well, if you want to play in the Premier League.
You've basically gone for an entire game for your highlights.
Nearly.
Well, they were fantastic, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah. Weren't they?
So much energy.
Well, Derby, because of that performance, have been rewarded with a final against QPR. McLaren versus Redknapp. Derby beat Brighton 6-2 on aggregate, and QPR beat Wigan 2-1 on aggregate. McLaren's got a bit of inside knowledge at QPR, of course, because he was there for a few months, and he was very complimentary, especially towards Joey Barton. He said, "I worked with these players for 3 months, and they're terrific together. They have a great attitude, great work rate, and a good spirit in the dressing room. They know how to win, and Joey Barton's been a big part of that," and talked about Barton when he came back from south of France. Was a real catalyst in the team exploding, as he put it. And Barton himself talked about the team being a band of brothers. And it's interesting, isn't it, when you look at all the experience there, which we've said, and as of many others, that they do seem to have this togetherness. It's the disappointment of not reaching an automatic promotion place. It hasn't scoured that, or soured that, rather. So they're a force, QPR, aren't they?
They're all mercenaries together. a band of hired guns.
Very much like the A-team. Or the Expendables. Yeah. Now, clearly what's happened here is because Steve McLaren is, as we know, a Time Lord. Yeah. He's deliberately done that little stint at QPR to get research on them for you know, the upcoming playoff final. We knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does make perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, because he also went on to say that had Charlie Austin not been injured, he thought QPR might have been able to seal automatically.
That's in February, April.
By the way, that Austin played in the second leg, I mean, he was the difference between the two sides, so you can see why that would be the case. It's true what he says. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I'm not having a go at QPR for the situation they're in, but they've got a lot of good players. Yeah. The situation is, they got relegated from the Premier League with a massive wage bill and a massive load of players.
Is it higher than Dortmund's?
Apparently it was, and I don't know if it's the list.
That's incredible,
And they need to keep and they've kept a lot of those players together, and they should really be doing better than they are. But it won't matter if they win at Wembley against Derby, because they'll go up anyway.
Yeah, they will, of course, all be forgotten, which is that's got to be as much of a motivation for those players as anything else. They will feel that pressure. Yeah. I think that it's interesting how sort of opposed the situations are, because Derby are absolutely flying, absolutely loving their football. I think there's a lot less pressure on them because they're enjoying it so much. I don't think they really expected this at the start of the season, and they don't have that pressure that QPR has.
Well, certainly not at the start of the season, because McLaren had taken over then.
Absolutely.
But even when he did take over, I mean McLaren's first game unofficially in charge, if you like, he went into the dressing room and they were 4-1 down at half time. Had a word and they got it to 4-4. Yeah. I mean, here they are on the brink playing some fantastic football. I thought McLaren, to back up what you just said, Jim, there, McLaren said that the QPR players know Wembley and they know the big games, whereas his team have innocently got to the final, as he put it.
And the key thing about Derby is just the amount of goals they score. I mean, people raved about Leicester. They won 31 games in the league this season. They scored 83 goals, and everyone was saying they were the stand-up best team, and praising Nigel Pearson and all the players at Leicester, Nugent and Knockhart and Drinkwater, all those guys. Mm. But Derby scored more goals.
Yeah, I know. So it's incredible, isn't it?
If that's anything to go by, and when they get the bit between their teeth, when they play with freedom, and you can, and I said this last week, you can see how they approach the semi-final. They approach the semi-final trying to keep it very tight in the first leg, knowing that in the second leg, when they're at Pride Park, Brighton don't score many goals. Mm. Brighton's strength is they sort of didn't concede that many, but Derby on their game and on top form at home can blow teams away. And that's exactly what they did. They played with such confidence, and I wonder whether QPR will be able to deal with them. And I said that last week, and I say it this week. QPR are a good team, of course they are, and we're looking at probably the third and fourth best teams in the Championship, aren't we?
I think we're all agreed there.
But I wonder if Derby is a little bit too good.
Well, Derby finished 5 points above QPR.
They scored 24 goals more, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, Rangers conceded 8 less, but the goal difference is obviously much better.
That's 18 head-to-head.
Yeah. There you are. Derby, they beat QPR 1-0 at home in February, and QPR won last November at Loftus Road 2-1. It was very tight between them when they've played. But you look at that, I mean, the stat that stands out there is well, you've got the 5 points, but the 24 goals more.
Yeah. Well, against Brighton, they were ruthless. And just as I say, they were enjoying it. You mentioned the Will Hughes goal earlier. Like, that is a back heel in a crowded box in a playoff playoff second leg semi-final. That's a big pressure game, and they just seem so confident that it's not affecting them. If anything, it's just driving them on.
The only thing I would say is that potentially the counterpoint to my point about Derby potentially being too good is that you wonder whether at Wembley on a big,
that
big
experience,
occasion, that QPR experience, those Premier League appearances, that those, a lot of those players have played big games. You know, Barton's played at the very top level. Crancastle, established international football player. There's a lot of players in there that have done it all before. I mean, even someone like Nedumanua, who plays for them, he's come through at City. He's played games in the Premier League, and so that could stand him in good stead. Derby are quite a young team, aren't they? Mm.
Again, though, the flip side to that is there's more pressure on QPR because of that. It's more expected.
True.
And I think some of the psyches of those footballers, I'd hate to sort of bring that up again, but like, if they're in the Championship next season, they still get paid the exact same massive wages. Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know. when they're in the Premier League, I'm not going to get, you know, well, they might get 10% more or something. But
true, but
really,
once they've played in the Premier League, they know what it's like. And they're footballers, they'll back themselves and they think, bloody hell, we've got to get back up there, for crying out loud. People are watching us and seeing us do that. And in a final at Wembley, we've seen so many great playoff finals over the years. Yeah. It can just go crazy. And I mean, McLaren's a good man, a good motivator as well, but so is Redknapp. Mm. So it will be very interesting to see how the game goes and how the two of them react
at that level.
Happening.
At that level, I mean, look, he's arguably lost a bit of interest, and he's I would argue he's probably a fading force, I Redknapp now. Mm-hmm. But at that level, I mean, don't forget, he managed my team at that level, and he's a class above. He really is, and he can get players going. He genuinely can. Mm. You wonder whether at the top level, or the very top level, he can tactically outmanoeuvre other managers, and whether he's a little bit too base. We saw that. He was quite naive, if you remember, when he managed Tottenham in the Champions League.
Yes.
He came unstuck when it already counted, which you would expect.
Yeah.
But at championship level, when the first half of the season when QPR were doing really well, I just thought they would do exactly what he did at Portsmouth in 2003, where he just flew up the division. No one got near them. Mm. But obviously they fell off a little bit. And I wonder if Redknapp's got the motivation. I think he may walk away if they don't get promoted this season.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of experience. But then McLaren has experience of failure at a top level, which stands you in good stead. They always say you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. So it'd be a really interesting game.
McLaren's won titles as well, but that's huge.
Yeah,
you know, that experience is going to be absolutely crucial to him. One thing I'm excited about with this fixture is that next season we're going to get either Charlie Austin or Chris Martin in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see how they step up, because they've both just been fantastic this season, just banging them in.
Well, QPR and Derby are both big clubs, aren't they? So
yeah,
it'd be great
absolutely
to see them back up there.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's one of the best things about the playoffs, isn't it? Where you're looking to see, we're going to see a couple of these big players in the Premier League again, and they'll get the exposure and the recognition that they deserve.
Yeah.
Because they put in performances week in, week out in the Championship, which is, as we all know, a brilliant division. And to do that and to test their mettle. I mean, a part of me thinks, yeah, you're absolutely right, Jim, to see Charlie Austin and some of those players. Barton back in the Premier League is always going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great to see? But then you think, but those Derby youngsters, what
absolutely
could McLaren do?
Will Hughes as well. I mean, it'd be a great time for him to step up onto the real big stage.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's very much expected that he won't be at Derby for a huge amount longer, but it'd be great to see him, you know, see what he can do in the Premier League.
Yeah, interesting little one here. QPR are going to appeal to the South Korean FA for permission to play defender Yoon Suk-yung in the final. Yoon is in the South Korea squad for the World Cup, of course, but according to FIFA rules, the 19th to the 25th of May is a rest period.
Mm.
The only exception is for the Champions League final. They've already had to appeal to the Croatian FA for Niko Krangtar.
They've accepted that.
They've accepted that. I never knew that little rule.
No, it's a funny one. I'm sure he'll be allowed. It'd be ridiculous if he isn't.
But I'm not. Not necessarily, because the South Koreans might think, well, no, they're the rules. He's our man. We don't want him risking injury or anything like that.
Yeah, but do they want to take him out of such a big game before the World Cup? Surely that will just upset him.
Yeah, and right.
He'll not be happy in his squad.
It's easier for decision for someone like Krangtar, who just swans around like a Rolls Royce. You know what I mean?
Doesn't really expend a lot of energy.
Yeah,
at times.
Yeah.
He rests on the pitch.
Young's 100-mile-an-hour fullback. he could easily hurt himself.
That is very true. I just think this is an absolutely extraordinary match, because it is.
It's still a domestic season, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So
it is.
I'm sure contractually there's probably something that says that he, if he's, we're the one paying the wages, he's going to bloody play.
Well, they've had to appeal. So the rules would say that that actually trumps any of those kind
You've
of...
You've got to lie down on that day. You've got to go sleep.
The you can't even do any gardening.
It's quiet time.
It makes you laugh because you think, oh, well, the players for Man City, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be the end of the season. They're supposed to be resting up ahead of the World Cup.
They're off to
the league playing friendlies.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it's crazy. That's why, I mean, it's a bit of a slight tangent. We won't go into it too much on this show, but... when people talk about a winter break, I was even not going to be off to them in America in the Middle East for 2 weeks over Christmas, making a load of money.
Absolutely.
It's exactly what will happen.
It's a shame. But I mean, going back to the final, I think that it is really the youthful exuberance of Derby against the experience of QPR, and it's an absolutely enthralling one to think.
Every playoff that has been played from the semis, each leg, there's so many little narratives
going
on. It's
really brilliant. Good,
and the quality of the goals and the games has just been superb. It never disappoints the playoffs. I must say as well, Derby County's fans, you can hold your heads high for an absolutely world-class pitch invasion. It was brilliant. It was the best of the weekend. It flowed so quickly. It was like within 2 seconds, the entire stand had emptied onto the pitch. It's like they rehearsed it.
It's like Connect Four at the end. Where you
Well, on a slightly more serious note, about the Derby fans, they are doing, I think it's in the 31st or the 32nd minute of the final, they're all applauding a local Derby DJ. I think he's got cancer or something. So they're going to be doing a tribute there, which is a nice touch as well. So yes, they have been absolutely magnificent, those Derby fans. But going back to the pitch invasions, that has been... I didn't realise that...
It happens often.
Does it happen every year, the pitch invasion at the end? Because to me...
It's a thin end of the wedge for me. It's going to get to the point where every single win is going to be a pitch invasion.
Mm.
So
yeah,
I'm careful what you wish for. You're happy with that. Pitches will be bogs over Christmas.
Be like the good old days.
Footprints everywhere.
They're going to have to play football in the stands.
Yeah, they will. Mm. Yeah, it'll be a whole reversal. The crowd will be on the pitch and the football will actually be played in the terrace.
That would be good. Especially like in South America with a big steep stand.
Yeah, very difficult.
Got to play the long ball. Get the long ball back in. League One. Leighton Orient will play Rotherham in the final. The O's, the mighty O's, beat Peterborough 3-2 on aggregate. Now there was a pitch invasion after the first goal winning. Pretty much as you said earlier with Dean Cox, a fantastic goal, and they were all on the pitch. I mean, he went crazy. It was like he scored one of the old-fashioned golden goals.
Yeah, but it was a beautiful.
I say old-fashioned. I mean, it's not that old. But
I thought there looked from an yesterday. Amazing atmosphere at Brisbane Road. A colleague of mine I worked with was at the game and said it was absolutely fantastic. It was really great.
Well, Chris Dagnall's goal, 100th
goal,
career goal. What a time to get it in the semi-final winning goal. Showed amazing composure.
Yeah,
bearing in mind the atmosphere that the stage and all that kind of stuff, the importance of it, to just gently kind of calmly stroke it in after taking a touch. Absolutely glorious.
I thought Leighton Orient were a better team. They deserved to go through.
They were.
They really.
Preston gave them a scare late on, though.
No, Peterborough. It was an interesting thing to hear with Darren Ferguson, because he seemed to say after the game that, oh, we just didn't take our chances. It's like, well, Leighton Orient had loads more chances.
Yeah.
It was odd.
When Chris Dagnall scored, the commentator on Sky said he will never score a more important goal.
You don't know that.
That's just huge sweeping generalisation.
If he gets the winner in the final.
Just scored his 100th career goal. It's not unlikely that he will, score in the final.
If he scores in the final, then surely that's pretty redundant.
Yeah, that could be broken next week. and he's only 28. He's got loads of football ahead of him.
I know.
The commentator, though, that's the same guy who, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, where he said... it's the most wonderful time of the year, the League One playoff. Right. He actually said when Leighton Orient scored their second goal, which basically meant they were going through, he actually said, the rising power in the East is on the march again.
Wow. God, Game of Thrones.
One of those World War II, rise of communism type Cold War things.
It's like they've programmed a soundboard with loads of cliches and loads of really mental things.
He's
and
so
they just make it up
it.
As they go along.
He's so passionate, that commentator.
Marvellous, absolutely marvellous. But yeah, they went 2-0 up and Peterborough scored in injury time, and it gave them a bit of a scare. And that's the funny thing, isn't it, with old football. They were absolutely romping at home, and then there was a chance right at the death for 2-2.
Well, the geezer should have taken it into the corner. Yeah. Leighton Orient striker had a shot instead. Yeah. Gave possession back to
Did you say geezer because they're based in East London?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
You just couldn't help it.
I don't answer anything now. Yeah. And I was going to say to you that...
He should have put it in the corner.
Well,
Ginola-esque.
The Peterborough, it was.
Could have been, at least.
The Peterborough goal as well. the goalkeeper tried to grab the ball to stop them getting the restart.
I saw that.
But he got bundled over to the net. And they just took the ball anyway and legged it back. It was
well,
great.
If Orient can go up, it'll be the first time in nearly 20 years that the club will be one league below the top flight.
Mm. Interesting that there were no extra time anywhere.
Yes, that's
good
right.
Good or bad? What do you
think? Oh, no, there was.
There was QPR.
Oh, of course there was.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only one, though.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good, Jim, because Charlie Austin popped up and made the difference. I liked it.
No pens, that's a shame. No,
well,
no
I do know what you mean, though, because a lot of the games are quite tight.
Yeah.
And, so, there's no away goals, either.
Yeah. There's no away
goals. Yeah, so you think
there's more of a chance.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it? Should we do away with the away goals?
I think we should.
Rotherham beat Preston 4-2 in aggregate. They beat them 3-1 at home. I mean, they looked the better side, didn't they? Preston took the lead from Gallagher, a free kick that wasn't really dealt... Well, it wasn't dealt with at all, hence it went in. But Rotherham came back with two great headers, didn't they? Thomas with the equal there, Frecklington...
Well, the first header the keeper should have done better.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. The, the second one was just an absolute neck bulger. Ben Pringle put that ball in again, that sort of nice shape from the left.
Yes.
And is it Frecklington, I think, headed the ball.
It was Frecklington.
He was going away from goal and he was about 15 yards out. I mean, the thing is, the reason I wanted to highlight that is because any one of us who plays football down the park or whatever with their pals, I mean, you just try that.
Yeah.
Try the head of the ball from 15 yards out into the corner with enough power to get past even a pedestrian goalkeeper. Yeah. And it's some skill. I mean, I'll tell you, he does it very well, obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo. He just gets a neck bulging.
He's got the neck of a horse.
Yeah, he has. His neck is as wide as his head.
Yeah.
And, and that header, just generate the timing and the power out of that was just so impressive, I thought.
How do you get a muscular neck?
Heading the ball over and over
again. There's no other gym work you can do. You've just got to practice heading.
You don't see people like dumbbells across their back.
You see boxers putting those sort of straps over their head like that, with the weights hanging down, and they lie on the side of the ring and just do like neck ups. Like
right.
That. Yeah.
Bloody hell, that's horrible.
Hard. Yeah, that is.
Hard
that, my that's neck hurts imagine, even thinking about that.
Yeah.
Imagine seeing someone do that.
Yeah.
You'd be scared, would you?
On a bus.
Yeah. Doing that on public transport would
but
be.
But that header was like, that was neck factor 5,000. It was absolutely bolded neck.
I know. Pete, you love a good header. You must have enjoyed that one.
I love any kind of header, but I certainly enjoy a bullet from going away from goal.
Yeah.
Lovely little job.
Yeah, indeed. But Rotherham.
It's a bullet no gun could. Fire,
exactly.
Yeah. It would be a gun going backwards.
What about the Rotherham keeper, Pete? He nearly did a Pat Bonner. There's a shot and he fluffed it and went just wide and I thought, oh no.
But can you just please emphasise exactly how close that was to going in?
Oh, it was Pat Bonner.
Yeah.
That's how close it was.
It was a millimetre from the post. Yeah. And his face was an absolute picture as well.
Yeah, it's like the blood just teleported out of him somewhere else.
Yeah.
But your man Pringle, Luke, hit the bar with a volley. That would have been one.
That was an absolute beauty as well. He nicely timed that as well. Again, it's a great technique. He's all technique, Pringle. He's got a lot of energy about him as well, but he's all technique. And that volley, I mean, it's one of those ones where you think, oh, I'd love to absolutely smash this, but he controlled it nicely as well. He's unlucky. He should have scored.
Well, Agard sealed it after a nice set-up and Rotherham went through. I mean, big Steve Evans was charging down the touchline celebrating.
Mm.
He is a beefy boy.
Yeah.
and
he doubles up as the roller.
That's unfair, but
he does little rolls.
Just forward rolls.
He enjoys it. It's fine. Yeah. He loves it.
He does, doesn't he? He
loves rolls or sideways rolls. I suppose sideways is quicker.
I saw him run up after when the final whistle went and he started to go and sort of pat. You know when football managers do that thing where they sort of pat the side of the head but they get right around the back of the head and get really lovely about it? Like darts players do it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He did that to a couple of his players and they look stunned.
He would probably dig his claws in.
They're only still standing. They're only still standing there because, you know, when you're on safari and you get charged by a big animal, you're supposed to stand your ground.
That's
why they were doing it.
Safari training is a big thing for his regime as well.
Yeah.
I think that's outside the box. Yeah. Steve Evans is coming.
Yeah.
We're going to sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
We're going to get safari training. He does love a post-match interview. Most managers think, oh, hurry up. Steve Evans really loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's one of those Phil Brown type performer type managers, isn't he? Yeah. And you can draw your own conclusions whether that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, that's true. to compare the two, Leighton Orient and Rotherham, they both finished on 86 points in the league. Rotherham scored one more goal, but conceded 13 more than Orient. Rotherham beat Orient 2-1 in February, and in October Orient beat Rotherham 1-0.
This is another situation.
Very close.
It's another situation where we've got the third and fourth best teams in the
club. That's right.
It's amazing how much these stats play out, isn't it?
I think it's something like 36% for third place teams to go up through the playoffs. It's much more, it's disproportionate.
Mm.
Preston have also struggled again. I mean, isn't that the ninth time they've been in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult one for them.
Yeah,
especially after that goal.
Talking about Evans and his quotes and interviewing and whatnot, he said after Rotherham, I mean, they're going for back-to-back promotions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is brilliant stuff. He said, this ranks up there. Well, I still maintain that the Aldershot game last year is the best because we won promotion, but this is up there.
Maybe he's trying to keep his players' feet on the ground, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe keep his own. Mm. As he's answering, he's thinking, no, I'm getting a bit too ahead of myself.
He also said something which was a little bit sinister, which was, it's my job to make sure we enjoy this tonight. What have you got planned,
wow,
Steve?
Jesus.
What have you got planned, Steve?
Put some Boys to Men on the stereo.
As he pulls off his shirt and tie to reveal a Club 1830 t-shirt. Ah, skin tight.
Lovely.
Starts chucking buckets of water over himself.
One of the original ones. Yeah. Yeah. Russell Slade's talking big, though. He's saying, we're not going to Wembley to make up the numbers. We're going there to get to the next level.
Good. Indeed. Good luck to them all. I'd like to see Latin do it personally, but
yeah,
I'll be watching the final with interest regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. In League Two, Burton Albion will play Fleetwood Town. Fleetwood beat York City 1-0 on aggregate. Very tight. Graham Alexander's men squeezing into the final at the expense of York City. They they drew 0-0 in the second leg. Yeah,
I don't enjoy it.
A bit of an anomaly.
Yeah. Because the games were so good. I mean, listen, I watched both the Burton Albion South and United games. Both fantastic. Mm. And the second leg particularly was absolutely superb. But I can't say the same about the Fleetwood York game.
My favourite thing about the Fleetwood York game was that there was a spare goal at the side of the pitch.
Yeah, you hope you need that. Can't even score on this one. The last place you need it.
It's arrogant. You think you're going to burst it?
Yeah.
Fleetwood, I mean, it is a remarkable story with Fleetwood. They're going for their sixth promotion in 10 years. And Andy Pilley became Fleetwood Town chairman. And the club was a far cry to what it is now. I think we can agree. Before he took over, the club was in serious financial trouble, probably going to be wound up. The attendance of his first game in charge, as chairman, was 80. He he spent a lot of money, but, you know, fair enough.
I think I'm right in saying that Burton Albion and Fleetwood will be contesting the League Two playoff final. And I think, and I haven't heard how many years ago it is now, 5 or 10, one of those. They were competing against each other in the Northern Premier League.
Right. Brilliant.
Wow. So it's some journey for both of them.
Amazing.
Well, the Fleetwood chairman spent £10 million on the club and at the brink of being promoted again this time, obviously.
That's how much it costs you to get into League One.
Yeah.
Mm. Crazy.
Well, the game's gone mad.
The game's gone, fellas. let's wrap it up now.
I know, indeed. But, that's a real intriguing one, as you say, because both have history in playing in a lower division. Burton drew 1-1 against Fleetwood in the FA Cup second round, won the replay 1-0. Fleetwood won at Burton 4-2, whereas Burton won 3-2 at Fleetwood. Fleetwood finished 4 points above Burton and scored 19 goals more, but conceded 10 more.
I thought the game between Burton and Southend was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, Burton went ahead, and Southend knew they had a job on their hands, and that sort of seemed to shock Southend to life, because in the first leg, Southend was so poor. Mm. And they obviously got their noses in front again, managed to sort of make it happen, and then they just let the back door open again, and it was so sloppy. I've got no particular beef with Southend, but they're a bit...
You've broken your chair. You're getting so excited.
The chair has just bailed out.
My goodness.
Leave it out. You're not pulling up chairs and throwing them on the pitch.
I think it's the same. Right. It's the same chair I broke like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I'm giving it again.
And the microphone fell apart recently.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I'm
you're right, mate.
I'm Godzilla. I was just going to quickly say
that.
Southend are a much bigger side than Burton. Much bigger club. Burton fans won't mind me saying that because Burton have been a non-league team.
Yeah.
And they richly deserve it because they really took the ball by the horns and went for it. And they're getting their award. And they had an awful lot of time to think about it on the way because their coach broke down apparently, and they sat on the side of the road.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
They must have thought that this isn't going to happen. This is not happening.
They also lost their big centre back, didn't they? He was suspended.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There we are. I do fancy Fleetwood in the
yeah, they might just nick it.
But again, another intriguing encounter.
I'd like to see Burton do it. I like that Adam McGurk has got sort of Zlatan style hair, and also that his name sounds like the noise a chicken would make.
McGurk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there you are, ladies and gentlemen. There you are. Three finals for you, nicely poised. But if you get a little bit hungry.
Oh, I like that.
Which
thing.
You will.
It works.
Then Pete's got something to tell you.
Yeah, so our friends at Papa John's, I like having slightly contractual friends. It means they can't leave me. like all the rest of them.
Well, you say that.
Yeah.
Our friends at Papa John's have been running the Score Twice Half Price promotion that I mentioned a little bit earlier on, giving Football League fans the chance to win half price pizza if the team score two or more goals in a game. Good news, it's happening once again. As I mentioned a little bit earlier on, all you need to do is go to papajohns.co.uk/football, select which team you think will score two or more goals at this weekend's Wembley showpiece. If you get it right, you'll get 50% off until the end of the next day. So you could order like five times if you wanted to.
Fine. I'm going for Derby.
Mm. Yeah?
Yeah, Jim?
You reckon?
Leighton Orient.
Orient. Lukey.
I think Derby's a really good
show. Yeah, I think Derby's a shoe in it. A pizza in, if you
we're all going there. And with regards to the VIP playoff competition, thanks to everyone who entered into the Papa John's VIP playoff competition. Entries have now closed, so make sure you tune into the Papa John's Twitter feed at Papa John's UK, who will be announcing the winners. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the show. Do enjoy the playoff finals, of course. Thank you for listening to the last Football Ramble playoff special delivered by Papa John's, the official pizza partner of the Football League. Papa John's, better ingredients, better pizza. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Luke.
Goodbye.
Pete.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.